The BBC has been passed a report which was classified by the MOD for many years, which details very serious failings in the military air accident investigation procedures. Now, it was written way back in 1986 and very strongly criticised a system under which senior commanders could interfere with inquiries and apparently change their findings almost at will. It also said that in some cases investigations were carried out by people who were unqualified. Now, following pressure from military chiefs, the MOD refused to implement the recommendations on that report, and campaigners are saying that the changes could have identified long-term systemic failures and as a consequence prevented the loss of personnel and aircraft in Afghanistan and Iraq. It is a serious question. Angus Stickler now reports.
The sound of an RAF Nimrod spy plane. 3 years ago today, one of the 18-strong fleet, Nimrod XV-230, exploded mid-air over Afghanistan, killing all 14 service personnel on board. As with any air crash, a military board of inquiry was convened to identify the cause. Fuel was leaking onto a hot air pipe. What's remarkable is that a similar problem had been highlighted with another Nimrod 2 years prior to the accident. It was only after a coroner's inquest that the full facts over the state of the ageing, poorly maintained fleet began to emerge. Subsequently, the aircraft were grounded in March of this year. For the past 3 months, we've been investigating military airworthiness, looking at the loss of Nimrod XV-230, of Hercules XV-179 shot down over Iraq, the Sea King helicopters which crashed at the start of the Gulf War. A total loss of 31 service personnel. In each case, the Board of Inquiry reports have been criticised for failing to identify systemic problems within the armed services. We've been asking why it's taken the civil courts to expose the extent of the problems, problems military inquiries failed to detect. Now, this programme can reveal that 22 years ago, a leading civil servant compiled a report for government warning that the military air accident investigation system was fundamentally flawed. It recommended wholesale change, recommendations that we now know, due to pressure from military chiefs, were largely ignored. In 1986, the Conservative Defence Minister, Lord Trefgarne, commissioned the UK's Chief Air Accident Inspector, William Tench, to investigate the methods of conducting inquiries into military aircraft accidents. The findings are scathing.
It is my considered view that boards of inquiry have outlived their usefulness as instruments of efficient aircraft accident investigation. The purpose is to investigate and report the circumstances and identify the cause or causes with a view to making recommendations for the preservation of life and the avoidance of accidents in the future.
And the detail of the report is damning. It describes mediocre standards where investigations are conducted by complete novices. Wrong causes were cited. In one case, investigators failed to identify a lethal situation which had occurred in two previous accidents. The main criticism, though, was levelled at top brass. The report attacked senior officers for interfering with inquiry findings. Squadron leader Chris Seal retired from the RAF in 2005. Ever since, he's been at the forefront of a campaign over military airworthiness.
Well, this is absolute dynamite. And you can almost understand why some senior officers would have balked at the thought of a civil servant being so critical of them. But frankly, he was right, absolutely spot on.
Since the Tench report, the military air accident investigation system has changed for the better. The inquiry teams now have access to expert investigators for advice. They no longer apportion blame. But the central tenet of the report is the need for independent, impartial investigation.
A disturbing feature is the influence which senior officers seek to exert on the investigation process, particularly in the RAF. Presidents of boards are conscious of a hovering presence in the background. The pervasive nature of the involvement of some station commanders and even commanders-in-chief is an unwelcome intrusion upon what should be the complete independence of the Board of Inquiry. The opportunities for staff to influence the board's interpretation of evidence or even their findings must throw some doubt on the complete freedom of the board to draw its own conclusions.
Criticisms which ring true with former service personnel. Air Commodore John Blakely left the RAF in 1992, 6 years after the Tench report was written. After 30 years in service, he now acts as a defence consultant.
On a personal basis, during my career, I was involved in two inquiries. In both cases, I would have to say that the findings of the board were interfered with by higher command. In the first one, the air officer commanding, who had convened the board, of course, when we reported in, he didn't like the findings. As it happened, the findings had been slightly critical of the person who'd called the inquiry. So we were reconvened and told to start again.
And according to Squadron Leader Seal, this is still relevant today.
The main crux of it is that the whole thing is flawed. What Tench has done here is to highlight the areas in 1987 that needed a huge, huge turnaround. That was true then, it is still true now. To an outsider, it just looks introverted, parochial, and frankly, lacking objectivity. It looks like a cover-up. It always has, and it will until it changes.
The report called for a cross-service central full-time accident investigation unit staffed by trained professional investigators. This never happened. Following pressure from military chiefs, the report was effectively shelved. Lord Trefgarne remembers his initial reaction to the findings and subsequent events.
Dismay, I think, is perhaps the right word. There had occasionally been high-level intervention in these matters, which I considered then and I consider now to have been inappropriate.
In terms of the report itself, it gave 9 recommendations, one of which was for this central unit. Where then would you say the pressure came from not to implement that recommendation?
Well, I certainly think that the chiefs of staff, the chiefs of air staff, were not particularly keen, but I dare say there were others who were expressing a similar view to them at the time.
The report was classified, its contents shelved, gathering dust. It's only now, 22 years on, that the full details have come to light. Squadron leader Chris Seal believes the failure to implement those recommendations has resulted in the further loss of life.
I am convinced that an independent central joint service unit would have been able to spot failings within the military system. And those accidents like the Hercules and the Nimrod would probably not have happened.
Can you really say that?
A better system could have prevented, and I'm sure would have prevented, the loss of valuable aircraft and irreplaceable service personnel.
According to campaigners, as long as the investigations remain in-house, controlled by senior staff, they will continue to be seen as partial, flawed, and open to allegations of cover-up.
Angus Stickler.